And with us in the studio now is Ivan Gusic. Hi, Ivan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, would you like to introduce yourself, maybe?
I'm a PhD candidate at Lund University, doing mostly research on peace and cities, but have a small specialty in the Western Balkans.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we're talking about the reconciliation process in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that the attempts at reconciliation after the Dayton Agreement has failed? And if so, why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the peace intervention as such hasn't failed. I mean, there's no war and hasn't been a war or the likelihood of war since 1995. But I wouldn't say there's been reconciliation. But I wouldn't say it hasn't been either. Because if you look at it, I have like two points in it. One part, I mean, reconciliation is a subjective thing, you know, so everybody can have it. So it's hard to say, you know, if there is reconciliation, because it's always going to be, you know, those that haven't reconciled and those that have. But the other aspect is sort of, you know, individual slash collective levels. I mean, on an individual level, of course, there is a reconciliation, and between people that knew each other before the war, fought against each other during the war, and then after that, you know, reconciled, they're usually much better friends than they were, you know, because they had something, they had something being between, and they overcame it. So there is individual reconciliation. But on a collective level, no, not at all. Because you still have, you know, three discourses, one at the national discourse, and, well, basically, there's no political will for it, and that's why you don't have it.
Okay. And would you say that the segregation between the different ethnic groups have been coming more vast or less?
If it has been...
The segregation between the different ethnic groups, if it's becoming bigger or smaller since 1995, and how do you think this correlates with the non-existing, or not maybe not non-existing then, but with the collective reconciliation process?
Well, it hasn't grown so much, but it's been cemented. So you had the divisions after the war, and they've sort of been very much cemented. I mean, you had, first of all, you had a violent war. Many were affected, and it's hard to reconcile if you lost someone. People haven't owned up to crimes. You know, there's a lot of blame game. Nobody will recognize that they've made war crimes, and, you know, that others have suffered. And and the whole society has sort of emerged as divided, you know. So it hasn't really gone up, but it hasn't gone back either. It's sort of cemented. It just is like it is. And I think it's going to increase in the future as well, because mostly, and this is like the thing when I talk with people when I'm down there, is it's always, everyone always mentions education. Because before you had people, those that fought the war went to school together. You know, they know that the other doesn't have horns and tails. But the children are usually completely divided into schools, and, you know, they don't know each other. They don't know what the other side is. So, I think this division is going to be much more permanent, you know, in the future.
Yeah, and talking about the school and about the segregation being cemented there, do you think that the different versions of history that is taught between these different schools, how much a problem this is?
Well, I mean, of course, it's a big problem, but it's not. And, you know, you don't recognize the other, you know, you doing crimes and other, you know, other suffering from crimes. And I mean, the history books are three completely different books and describing three completely different conflicts. But I think that's not the main problem. The problem is that you have spatial segregation, so people don't meet each other at all. So, you know, I think the main point is maybe the education, because it's divided, and I don't see any progress you know, it being united because it suits those at charge.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We will be back after this song.
Your tears. And so we're back with Ivan in the studio, and Simon, of course. And we're going to keep talking about the reconciliation process and just Bosnia and Herzegovina in general today. So do you think that there is anything that unites citizens across Bosnia and Herzegovina at the civil society level?
The economic situation. I mean, it's extremely bad and it's getting worse by the day. There's huge unemployment, bad schools, no prospect for future. I mean, people have no money, and I mean, some people are seriously starving. You know, some people don't know where they're going to get their next paycheck. Some others don't know how they're going to get the next meal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the economic despair that, I mean, the big majority of the people across the ethnic groups are suffering from, I think that would be a point of unity. Mm-hmm. And we had that, we had protests across the country in February. You know, they originated in Tuzla because some factories closed down and people didn't get their pays. And there were inter-ethnic protests, you know, people protesting against politicians, and, you know, there was a big protest spread all over the country. And initially they had some people resign and all that. But very quickly it was sort of nationalized, the whole question. Either it was portrayed as it's us and them again, you know. Mm-hmm. Being Croats saying, oh, the Bosniaks, they're not protesting against the state, they're protesting against the Croats, they just want to dominate us. So you have either that, you know, nationalizing everything in the discourse, or you have just, you know, the structures of power that are in place, you know, because, you know, you have the war leaders and the war parties being in charge since end of the war. So people that still protested, you know, they were taking pictures of them, and they would get text like, if you don't stop protesting, you're going to lose your job, we're going to beat you up, and all that. You know, professors participating were beaten up in the classrooms in front of students and colleagues because they were joining the protests. So, I mean, there is unity, but, I mean, the political structures are quite efficient in every time something emerges, they just shove it, you know, they just make a stop to it.
And do people really believe that they can only look to politicians of the same ethnicity for trust or any kind of guarantee of protection of rights?
It's not trust. I mean,
not trust, but I mean, do they only look to politicians of the same ethnicity for?
Yeah, those people voting, basically. I mean, I wouldn't say nobody trusts the politicians, but those voting for them, it's like it's a whole system of nepotism. So basically, you get a employment. You can't be a high school teacher if you don't have any party affiliation. Mm. So if in order to get a job in a high school or a school or at a hospital or whatever, you have to have some affiliation, and you know, and if your contacts gets in, you know, the whole deal is you keep your job if you maintain, you know, your nearest family and friends, you know, voting for us. Mm. So I mean, those voting for the politicians, it's their interests. And yeah, there is discourse and people in it as well. I mean, people voting to it. But there are no multi-ethnic politicians, so to speak, to vote for. Mm. There are no serious competition. You have to have money in politics, and those having money are nationalists. So, I mean, there's no chance for alternatives to emerge. So either people vote for nationalists or they don't vote at all.
So what do you think the future of Bosnia and Herzegovina looks like then?
I don't know. It would be, you know, political scientists don't do predictions because we're so bad at them. But it's not a very bright future. I mean, just as I said, you had the whole economic situation. You have divided kids in schools. You have leaders that talk about, you know, being part of the EU, but they don't want to be part of the EU because being part of the EU would make, you know, would force them to order the country, you know, have rule of law and all these kinds of things. And in an order country, they would go to jail. So, I mean, I don't know. You have basically three groups sitting in the same